Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
I want to share something that I received on Facebook. A friend of mine, I've actually got several friends that have been diagnosed with the COVID-19 virus, and two of the ones that in particular that I'm thinking of were in very critical condition and now are not. And I want to share just the goodness of God. And this is from a friend of mine whose wife is in the hospital in Brussels, Belgium. They're missionaries. And Phyllis Benegas, Tom wrote this this morning, just about an hour ago. He said, I just talked to the doctor and she said that within an hour, they're going to take Phyllis off the ventilator. Can I tell you how happy I am? They've been gradually waking her this morning and she's able to respond to all their commands, but keeps going back to sleep. So in just a little while, they will take the tube out and the doctor said that maybe later this evening, I'll be able to talk to her. I'm crying, ! But so thankful for God's grace to sustain us during this time. Can we just thank the Lord for His goodness in our lives? Father, we're so grateful for who You are. Lord, in the midst of things that are going on around us, we know that we have a fortress, a strong tower that we can run to. We know that we have a God who loves us and cares for us, has a wonderful plan for our lives. Lord, this morning we open our hearts to You, we worship You, and we ask You, Lord, to have Your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. All right, we're here at Drive-In Church and we're watching online. Welcome everybody that's online. Those of you that are here, give me a little toot. Come on, all right. Good deal. It is so good to be with you this morning. I've got a message that the Lord just laid on my heart. You know, we were in the middle of a series and we called The Balancing Act. And this week, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to change some things. And the word exposed just kept coming over and over in my heart and just what that means. And so we've changed up the series for a few weeks. We're going to talk about being exposed. But I think, you know, we have all spent the last several weeks just adjusting our lives and how we do things and what we do, right, to protect ourselves from exposure to this invisible enemy called coronavirus or COVID-19. And I've washed my hands more in the last 3 weeks than I probably have in the last 3 years. And hand sanitizer, I never really used to use hand sanitizer, but it's become a part of my regular routine. Wipe down doorknobs, steering wheels. I've sanitized my credit card after I'm done getting gas. My cell phone, you know how nasty your cell phone is? You don't think about that, but sanitized. My cell phone has been sanitized a lot. And has anybody experienced this dilemma, though, when you go into a bathroom, maybe a public bathroom, and you go to wash your hands, and you're done washing your hands, and you turn the water off, and you realize that the water spigot probably hadn't been sanitized, and you just touched it after you washed your hands, and so then you got to wash your hands again, and, you know, do the elbow turn thing off, and then you get to the door, and you can't get out of the bathroom because you got to touch the doorknob, maybe use your shirt a little bit to get the doorknob. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I've been there a couple times and I'm getting better at it. I kind of go into a bathroom knowing what I need to do now, but we've been trying to protect ourselves from exposure over the last several weeks. And I don't know if I've been exposed to the coronavirus. I don't know if you've been exposed to the coronavirus, but I do know that I've been exposed by it. I've been exposed by the coronavirus, and I think that each and every person on this planet has been exposed by the coronavirus. We've all been exposed. We've all been exposed. It exposes our weak sides. It exposes that dark side of us. It exposes what normally lays far beneath the surface of our souls. It's hidden. by those invisible masks that we all wear and we try to hide behind those things. Corona is exposing our addiction to comfort. Can anyone say amen? I mean, man, our comfort has been assaulted, right? I mean, it's exposing our compulsion to hoard. It's exposing our obsession for control. You know, and we realize, I'm sure everyone is realizing right now that we cannot control our lives. I mean, what a reality check for all of us, you know, that when we think we're in control, we really control very little. And Corona has been exposing that obsession of ours to control. It's also peeling back the layers. It's tearing down the walls. It's revealing those illusions in our lives. And it's really leveling our best laid plans. Jeremiah 17:9 says this. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Who can understand it? Wow. See, Corona is exposing me. It's exposing you. It's exposing us. It's calling everything into question. What is church without a building? What is church without the ability to come together and to fellowship, to experience that koinonia? What is your worth without income? What is your value when you can't bring value? I think that's something that guys, not just guys, but in particular, we tend to feel valuable because we can add value to a situation. And maybe you're in that boat, maybe man or woman, husband or wife or whatever, you feel like, man, what's my value? I'm not able to add value. And we struggle with it. We're being exposed. How do you plan for the future when the future has really no certainty? And how much control do you really have when everything in life seems to be out of control, right? How do we love people without risk? Will my family make it? Will my company survive? Will my church weather the storm? Will there be food? Will there be toilet paper? Corona is exposing us. It's exposing our careless words, our fragile nerves. Almost sounds like a spoken word, huh? We've all been exposed. We've all been exposed. We've become good, real good at protecting ourselves from exposure. Now, I'm not talking about the coronavirus. I'm not talking about COVID-19. I'm not talking about any flu or thing like that. I'm talking about something that's even more sinister, that is hidden in the heart of every human being. There's a brokenness in us. There's a dysfunction in each and every one of us. It's a result of the fall. It's a result of what Adam and Eve did. And we'll get to that in week 3 on Easter Sunday. I'm going to really unpack that and how we were exposed. But you know, I'm talking about that dysfunction that's inside of us, that brokenness that's inside of us, that we have gone to great lengths, and we are very careful to make sure that we cover it up and we put masks on it and we protect so that people cannot see that brokenness, that it's not exposed, that people don't really see who we are. See, we try to cover it up. We try to cope with it. I believe that our deeds reveal what our heart conceals. You can't hide your deeds. You can't hide the things you say, the things you do. You can't hide those, because sometimes they just come out, right? When you least expect it. We try to push them down, but our deeds reveal what our heart conceals. Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 15. He's with his disciples, and this group of religious people, the Pharisees, teachers of the law, came to him in verse 15 and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Here's these religious people that are so bent out of shape about Jesus' disciples not washing their hands before they eat. Now, I think it's good practice to do, but they didn't do it. And it wasn't a law, but it was something that the religious people, see, they had a tendency to take what Moses gave as the law and kept adding things to it, these traditions. And they allowed the traditions that they had to become equal with the law of God. And we tend to do that too a lot of times, more probably in the church world, but But we tend to do that as humans too. But they had all these traditions, and they were bent out of shape because the Pharisee or because the Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. And he's calling them, they're calling Jesus on the carpet for it. And Jesus replied and says, "Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" You know, I can just see the disciples at that point just kind of high-fiving each other like, "Oh, man, he got them. Whoa," you know, because he was calling them on the carpet. And they had a tendency to swallow camels and strain gnats, you know, and they would overlook some really ugly things that they would do, some things that were inside of their heart. They would overlook those things because they were kind of following all the rules. But yet they didn't pay any attention to what was inside of them. And that's what Jesus is trying to get to in the point. And so they didn't understand it. And so you, down through the verses, if you look at verse 17, Jesus starts to explain to his disciples. Here's what I meant. He says, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body?" It's kind of like a no-brainer, right? Whatever comes in to your mouth and it goes out of your body, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, verse 19. For out of the heart, listen, what comes out of the heart is evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. And so Jesus is trying to help his disciples, but also those religious people who are so focused on the outward appearance and trying to help them realize that, listen, there's something that is so much nastier inside of you and so much more broken and dysfunctional inside of you. If you would just allow God to open your heart and see that. See, the things that we try to conceal, our deeds reveal that. Our deeds reveal what our heart conceals. And we spend so much time trying to cover it up, trying to keep it from being exposed. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what kind of mask you've made. We all have different ones. We all compensate for the brokenness in our lives. We all, you know, we overdo it to just make up for those things. But can we be real this morning? Can we be honest this morning? We've been exposed. We've been exposed by this virus. As a world, I think people's hearts are being exposed. And that's not a bad thing. See, God wants to expose us because he wants to heal us. He wants to fix us. He wants to expose our fear. He wants to expose our insecurity. He wants to expose our obsessions, our selfishness. He wants to expose it because he wants to heal it, if you'll let him. Exodus 3:6. There's a, you know, Moses is standing, he's in the desert, and he's in front of a bush that is burning, but it's not being consumed. And he hears these words, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." God is speaking to him, and he reveals himself. He identifies himself as, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And all throughout the Old Testament, we see that introduction or that way that God identifies himself to his people, that I'm the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's great. You know, we think of, man, wow, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But listen, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had some mess. God wants to work through our lives, and he can work through our lives if we'll surrender to him. I want to look at Jacob real quick, if we can take just a moment and look at this guy named Jacob, who ends up being the father of the Jewish race, the Hebrew nation. He is such an important figure in Jewish history. He's such an important figure in the history of Christianity. And here's Jacob, though. His life starts in Genesis chapter 25. If you've never read the story of Jacob and Esau, you need to read it. Genesis chapter 25 through 37. It's a little lengthy. I'm going to give you about 50 years in about 5 minutes, if you can hang in there. Okay, I'm going to talk fast, but I'm going to give you a real quick recap. But it's a great story. You got to read your Bible. It's so full of great stuff, and God's word is so powerful. And so in chapter 25 of Genesis, Jacob and Esau, who are twin brothers, are born. Esau is born first. He comes out of his mother's womb, Rebekah. Rebekah's his mother. Comes out of her womb first. But the Bible says that Jacob is actually holding on to his heel. And that was probably pretty cool to see, maybe. I don't know. But because of what was going on, Rebekah and Isaac decide to name him Jacob, which in Hebrew means heel grabber. Heel grabber. Now, other translations have said that, you know, it also means supplanter or deceiver. And we'll see later on the story that that's totally true. But here's Jacob, the heel grabber. And then we see later on in life, as he's getting older, that Jacob and Esau take kind of different paths in life. Jacob is more of the cooking network kind of guy, stay at home, hang out with mom kind of guy. And Esau is more of the outdoorsy. He's a hunter. You know, he's a rough and tough guy. And so they take two different paths. And Jacob's at home watching the cooking network. Not really, because obviously they didn't have TVs. But he's at home cooking, and Esau comes home from hunting. He wasn't able to get anything. He's hungry. He's been out, you know, out in the desert, out in the woods. He's been, you know, without food for a long time, and he's starving. And so he comes to the house and he wants some food because it smells so good. And Jacob, instead of being just a good brother, Jacob says, you know, hey, what? I'll give you some soup, but if you give me your birthright. See, the oldest son had what was called the birthright, which entitled them to most of the inheritance. And because Jacob was so hungry, he must have been starving, and he said, okay, yeah, you can have my birthright, whatever, you know. And so he swindles his brother, Jacob does, swindles Esau out of this birthright. Then later on in life, Esau's getting older, Isaac's getting older, and he's close to death. And so he says, you know what, I don't know how long I'm going to be around. I want to bless my son, my firstborn. I want to pronounce a blessing over him. And so he lets his son know that, hey, I want to bless you, but I want you to go out. I want you to go out and catch some, you know, get some wild game, because that was his favorite food, and then prepare it for me, and then I want to bless you. And so his mother hears that, Rebecca does, and Rebecca wants Jacob to be blessed. And so as Esau goes off, then Rebecca takes Jacob and puts animal fur on his arms, because his brother's kind of hairy and he's not. And he goes in, they prepare a meal, and goes in, and he gives the food to his dad, and tricks his dad into pronouncing a blessing over him. Now, you know, in our culture, we think of blessing like, hey, bless you, you know, when you sneeze or something. This isn't what they're talking about. This is something that had a powerful implication. It had effect over people's lives, and I believe it still does. I believe what we speak over our kids is very powerful. And here's the blessing in verse 29. It says, may God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. And we know from history and the rest of the story that those things came true for Jacob. But Jacob steals it. He's deceitful. He sneaks around, and instead of asking his dad for the blessing, he steals it from his brother. Now, Esau finds out about it. He's furious with him. He wants to kill him. And Jacob runs off to his uncle Laban, who he's never met before, but it's his sister's brother. Runs off to Laban's house. Ends up spending 20 years in Laban's house. Ends up working for 14 years for two daughters of Laban's daughters, Rachel and Leah. And then another 6 years. And in the process of that time, he also deceives his uncle and deceives them out of goats, his flocks, And so it just seems to always be happening. It's second nature to him, right? I mean, there's things that are in us that just seem to be second nature. You know, it's just like it's just a part of us, and we seem to have a hard time shaking it and a hard time letting go of it. Those are things that are broken inside of us. Those things are dysfunctional. Those are part of our old sinful nature that God wants to set us free from. But in order for him to set us free, he's got to expose us. That's the hard part, because none of us want to be exposed. We want to protect ourselves. We want to take every precaution so that we don't get exposed, right? We don't want people to know what's really going on inside of us. We don't want people to know that we're really jealous, or we're really envious, or we're really insecure, or we're really fearful, or we're really greedy. We don't want people to know those things. We don't want people to see what's really inside of our hearts. But God wants to set us free, because that's not who we are. And so here's Jacob. He's just doing his thing, and he's being him, right? He's being Jacob, and he's at a point now where he starts to experience the blessing of God. Here's the crazy thing, is that you would think that, you know, because of our brokenness, that sometimes, you know, God's not gonna bless you all, you know, because you know you've got this stuff in your side of your heart until you get it right, you know. But sometimes we don't even know what's broken inside of us. Until we're exposed, we don't even know it. And so God begins to bless Jacob, and his flocks are just multiplied, even so more than his uncle Laban. And so all of a sudden now, because of this blessing that he's experiencing, his family's growing, his flocks are growing, you know, which means very little to us, right? We don't want our flocks of goats to multiply, right? No, but he's being blessed, you know. He's gotten promotions, he's got cars and a big house, and he's got boats, and you know, that's our context. But whatever, he's experiencing this blessing. And what happens as a result of that is that Laban sees it and begins to put some pressure on him and say, hey, you know, your flocks are growing, mine aren't. And God uses that to push Jacob out of the nest, in a sense, to push him out of his comfort zone and to push him into a place where he had to face what it was he was running from. And so he starts to feel that pressure and that push from his uncle, and he realizes, I've got to go back. I got to go back to my father's house. I got to go back to my brother. I got to go back and face the things that I've done. And see, God was able and used the blessing to put him into a situation where he started to realize, I've got to go back. And sometimes God will bless you. Sometimes he will bless you in your life to set you up for exposure. That's crazy, isn't it? That he will set us up to expose us. Why? Because he wants to heal us. And so he's orchestrating this thing, and he's now all of a sudden, Jacob is on his way back. He knows he's got to face his brother. And so he sends everything he has out front. He sends the moving truck. He sends the boat. He sends all the vehicles. He sends his family. Everything's out in front to go to Esau first. And he finds himself alone. Some powerful things happen when we find ourselves alone, isn't it? You know, he finds himself alone. And in verse 24 of chapter 32, here's what happens. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. There's something powerful in a name. And the reason this was the angel of the Lord that was wrestling with Jacob. Jacob was coming face to face with God. And in this encounter, It wasn't that God didn't know who he was. It wasn't that he hadn't ordained that appointment, because it wasn't an accident that they were together and that they were wrestling. It was an ordained appointment. And that the angel of the Lord, God asked Jacob, "What's your name?" Just like in the Garden of Eden when God says, "Adam, Eve, where are you?" God knew where they were. They didn't know where they were. And God just needed Jacob to speak and to realize who he was. And when he said his name, when he said, "I'm Jacob," those thoughts, "I'm a heel grabber. I'm a deceiver. I'm a supplanter. All my life I've deceived people. All my life I've done this, and I've covered it up, and I've masked it, and I've tried to keep it from being exposed, but here it is. It's wide open. It's laid bare before you. This is who I am." And the Lord said to him, "That's not who you are anymore. Because from now on, you're going to be Israel. From now on, I'm giving you a new identity." See, sometimes life will pin you down, and you'll have to look into the mirror, and you'll have to admit who you really are. Whether it's a coronavirus, or whether it's cancer, or whether it's debt, or whether it's a relationship that's gone south and just bad things happening. Whatever your situation, life has a way of pinning us down and making us look right in the mirror and asking ourselves, what's going on inside of you? What's happening inside of you? What is it? What deeds are you concealing? What deeds are you trying to hide? What is it you're trying to hide in your heart? And sometimes that happens. Sometimes we're faced to face with God and we realize, this is who I am. And that's where Jacob was. He found himself face to face with God, and he found himself realizing, this is who I am. But this isn't who I want to be. And God said, this isn't who you have to be. Listen, the reason God's setting us up, the reason God's exposing us through whatever circumstance that you encounter and you experience, the reason he's setting you up is because he loves us and he wants to heal us. He wants to fix what's broken inside of us. And if we just keep covering it up, if we just keep putting masks on, if we just keep, kind of sanitizing our actions and trying to fix it ourselves, we'll never be healed. I believe God wants to do something in our hearts through this time, through whatever's been exposed in your life. I don't know what that is. It's easy for us to look around and say, "Oh man, God, this is being exposed. I see fear in people, and I see selfishness, and I see hoarding, and I see all these different things." It's easy for us to look at out and see that in public and see, but it's hard for us to identify those things in our own heart. And we've got to do that. We've got to be honest with the Lord and honest with ourselves. And we got to say, "God, whatever it is, I don't want to be that." And so that day on, Jacob was a new man. He was changed. And the Bible says that when he left that place, that he walked with a limp because the angel of the Lord touched his hip. See, you and I, we won't be the same. Of course, we want to go through things and we want to learn things and we want to go through it without any limp, right? We don't want to have the scars to prove it. But the reality is we may have some scars. We may have a limp or two, but we're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. If we're willing to just say who we are. "God, here I am. This is who I am. And this is, I open my heart to you and I allow you to have your way in me." Can we do that this morning? Can we allow God to do something deep inside of us? Can we allow him to transform us and to change us? While you're watching online, if you're sitting in your car this morning, can we do that? Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, today, God, we open our hearts to you. And Lord, we realize that even though we may not have been exposed to a virus, we've been exposed by it. We've been exposed by things that are ugly, things that we have no control over. And God, I just pray that you would open our hearts, that we surrender to you, and that you would reveal those things that you want to change. We give them to you. See, it's all about trust. It's about submission. God wants us to submit ourselves, to come under his lordship, to trust him. Would you do it? God, I just surrender to you. I worship you. Expose those things that are not of you. Expose the stuff that I try to hide. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for watching. Thanks for being a part of the service. I know that the Nick evangelists are going to do one of the routines here in just a second. But thank you for watching. Thank you for being here this morning for church. And I'd like to invite you to join us on Wednesday night for group church. And if you get the emails, if you don't, let us know so we can make sure you get those. But I want to introduce the Nick evangelists. I know they were in the very beginning introduced a little bit, but this is a group that travels all over the U.S. And just like all of us, we didn't plan what's happening in our country right now, in our world right now. And so they were scheduled from last year actually to be with us, and they're with us. And so we wanted to just allow you to see their ministry and give you an opportunity to bless them. You know, they sleep in the church. They don't have a whole lot. And so I want to encourage you, if you're watching online, if you're here, you know, to bless them. You received a giving envelope when you came in. If you want to put something in there along with your tithe and just bless them this morning. If you want to give online, you can do that. But God bless you. Have a great week and bring somebody to life this week.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.